All right. Is everybody ready today?
Yeah.
All righty. We're going to continue what we was talking about in this series about mind over matters, because our mind is an area of our life that really where the devil tries to attack. We know he attacks our bodies sometimes also, but the mind is really very important because without a lack of a better term, it's a decision maker in our life, isn't it? And so we need to learn how to make some good decisions. Now, last week we talked about fear, and I'm going to bring that up here a little bit also. But today we're going to talk about winning over worry. I think this is one of the things that really probably hamstrings or gets a lot of people in bondage or living a defeated life to some degree versus the overcoming life. And I don't know, would you consider yourself a worry wart? I mean, that's there is some worry warts in life, right? And I think we all maybe have been a worry wart in our life, you know, due to some things. Like I mentioned last week, we talked about fear. Now, worry can turn into fear if we're not careful. And that's why we really need to learn how to break its power, because fear is worry on steroids. So if we keep worrying, it's going to get there, because what worry does, worry will wear us down. But on the other hand, fear kind of knocks our feet out from under us, doesn't it? So fear is something that's sudden, but worry is something, you know, that just kind of builds, because, you know, fear focuses on the present while worry focuses on the future. And I believe we can learn how to control that. And as we learn how not to worry, I believe that we won't let it worry dominate our lives and dominate our minds, because that's going to lead us down a wrong road. Remember, we're talking about, you know, having mind over matters, and we started off talking about how we can have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is when we start to think like Jesus thinks. And Jesus is always bringing glory to the Father. We need to remember that. And he made a promise in the Bible that we can have the mind of Christ, that we can, you know, train ourselves to be able to think like he thinks. Now, we're not going to be 100%. You know, I don't believe we'll ever get to that place. But how many know that's no excuse to not try to get better? You know what I'm saying? You know, some people think, well, I'll never get perfect, so I might as well not even try. Well, that's backward thinking. That's the kind of thinking that, you know, will lead us down the wrong road. Now, the scripture we're going to look at today is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. And it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and a body more than clothing?" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit here today. We thank you for the presence of the Lord just to be in our midst. We thank you as we worship you, Lord. We know that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, I thank you for the anointing. We take authority over any unclean spirit, any spirit that tries to distract us and to lead us astray. Lord, we thank you for the penetrating power of your presence. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first point I want to kind of look at today is talking about life's worries. You know, we live in a world where there's so much stuff, right? We all have stuff, you know. If it wasn't for stuff, I think life would be a lot easier. You know, we have so many different things because we have our stuff, and then other people have stuff, so then we compare ourselves to their stuff, and then we get more stuff. And the more stuff we get, then we start to worry about that stuff. And here Jesus just said in this passage, he said, hey, check out the birds, check out the flowers. You know, look how they live. Now, I know we have to pay insurance. Birds don't have insurance, you know, and house payments and stuff. I do know that we have, you know, things we have to deal with. And Jesus wasn't saying, you know, be ignorant here about how you have to take care of your business. But he was trying to get us to the place, he says, don't worry. Don't worry about those things. And, you know, it's important that we get to that, because I think what happens that all this stuff that you and I try to chase after, it starts to control our thought processes and it gets on our mind. You know, can you remember a time in your life where you had something going on or maybe something happened and all of a sudden your mind was just consumed with that and you worried about it, and the more you worried about it, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I remember watching somebody, you know, before, you know, that they would take something little and I'd watch them. And then before a week later, that thing that was so little and very manageable became so big and was just out of control. Because what happened is they would just let it run over and over and over in their mind. They let it keep going. And then all of a sudden, it became a situation where it was more than they could handle. You know, I was thinking of having a t-shirt made, you know, life is greater than stuff, you know, get the greater sign. I should maybe said this on the internet. Maybe somebody's going to go do that now. But, you know, get the greater than sign, you know, because life is more than stuff. Jesus says, you know, life is very important. And see, we also need to understand there's a difference between being concerned and worried. It's okay to be concerned every now and then. And as a good parent, most of us do get concerned. See, concern is more fact-based, I mean, and it deals with things, you know, that we can maybe, you know, critically think about how to solve a problem. You know, and it's okay to be concerned. If you see your kids running towards the street, you know, you should be concerned about that, right? You should be concerned. And you stop them and tell them, don't go towards the street. Don't play so close to the street. That's okay. Now, on the other hand, let's say you're laying in bed and all you can think about is, my kid's going to get ran over. My kid's going to run out in that street. I just know it. You know that one neighborhood kid just got his license. He drives so fast. He's going to run over my kid. I just know it is. And all night long, you just let that keep running over and over in your mind. And that's worry. And that's not productive. You can't do anything about it. See, concern might put a fence up, right? And we need to have some fences sometimes in our life, if you know what I'm saying. Amen. But worry, on the other hand, is something that's going to get out of control. And then it's going to take you, because what worry does, it focuses on future problems that we may never have. And when we focus on those things, we usually put a negative spin on them and let it twist and turn, and then it just stays in our mind. And I you know, I know as a pastor all the things that, you know, my family has went through over the years and different things that we've had to battle. I know about worry. I know what it can do to your life. You know, I remember when we was building this big building and, you know, and then we, you know, hired the concrete contractor and just had that done, and that about wiped out our finances. You know, I was concerned. No, I wasn't. I was worried. I was worried. It bothered me. And I had to learn how to defeat that in my mind, because it was eating me alive. And so we all can probably share a little bit of something that's happened in your life. You know, something that has been kind of eating on you. And it just wears you down. And before you know it, because we're dealing with that what if. You know, what if? And what if is destructive to our well-being. Because most of those things beyond, I mean, we got this thing built, it's all good, it's paid for, praise God. That was a load off, you know, and just our small congregation. We did a big thing. God is a big God. Amen. You know, but I'll tell you what, worry just can wear us down about what could be around the corner. And see, let God take care of what's around the corner. All we can do is see to the corner. Yeah, we can maybe manage some of that. But we need to let God take control. See, we need to be able to overcome these things that happen in our life, because I know that, you know, them future problems happen. And, you know, every now and then you got more month than money, you know, you got things going on. There's people I know around the country has, you know, maybe been going through some difficult times with this COVID thing. And wherever you stand on that, you know, about half the nation believes one way and it doesn't matter what it's about. I mean, it's just about, you know, should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? It's about 50-50. You know, or should I do this or should I do that, you know? So there's all that out there, and that just stirs up things, and then people get worried about it. And there's a lot of people worried about things right now with all this going on. But I do know this, worrying about a pandemic is not going to make you healthy. Using wisdom and maybe showing some concern and doing what you feel is right for you and your family, that's fine. But don't let that worry come in you and eat on you and drag you down to the place that you're going to be unhealthy, because it's going to wear your immune system down. It's going to take its control over your life. Now, as we can probably look in our life, we can probably measure this. Our thoughts can either empower us or debilitate us, right? You know, if you think good things and you got the Word of God going on in your life and, you know, you're just flowing with Jesus, you know, and life is good, life is great, life is grand. Oh, yeah, you're going to get an attack every now and then. But over the big picture, you know, you're living a life that brings glory to God. But on the same token, the next day, you can just let yourself get down because you start thinking about all these problems in life. And before you know it, you don't even want to go out of the house, man. You ain't going out. You start having everything delivered in. And then, it just gets to you. It wears you down. And so the important thing is that we can learn with that is that, you know, if those thoughts can either take us to the mountain or they can take us to the deepest valley of despair, and it's your mind, right? It's the same mind. The same mind on, you know, you got the same brain, right? You can't change brains, hypothetically, right? Yeah, on Monday, you still have the same brain as you did on, you know, as you will on Tuesday and Wednesday. But it's what goes into that brain. It's what goes into that mind. It's how you process the information is what makes the difference on how you do it. Because if Satan can control our thoughts, he can control our life. And see, the battle primarily is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and rulers in high places, right? See, the devil's been around a while. And he's the one who's going to try to influence us and try to get us to think a certain way. Oh, yeah, there's some people that he uses as pawns, that's in our life, that, you know, the negative Nellies or whatever, and that criticize everything and just try to drag everybody down. And they're trying to, how many's been really feeling good about life, and then you go to work and then you run into somebody and they just drag you down, man. Now you got worried about everything. It's those things that come into our mind that we need to learn how to control. See, our actions will follow our thoughts, and they're going to be either positive or negative. It's as simple as that. Now, this is very simple, but it's kind of hard to do sometimes. You know, being able to win over worry, you know, I know that, you know, it gets better as you just try to learn, and we're going to go into that a little more next week, you know, on some different techniques that we can do. But, you know, our actions will follow our thoughts and how we can control those thoughts, because you have the power to do so. See, the battle is in our mind. See, on one hand, Satan is hurling accusations at our mind, and he's called the accuser of the brethren. That's a biblical truth, right? He tries to accuse us. He tries to, you know, blame us. Now, I'm going to break this down. We've done this a long time ago. I'm going to teach on spiritual warfare here coming up this year. I believe the Lord's been kind of stirring that in me. But the word devil, have you ever heard the word diablos? That's in Spanish, but in Greek it's diabolo, and that's kind of a rough translation. You know, that's maybe not exactly how it's said. But the word, if you break that down, and you can even Google this, it'll just tell you this information. If you look at the word dia, it's talking about penetration. And the word balo is talking about like a ball or a rock that you throw something at it, okay? See, the word devil actually means, his name, is that he keeps throwing something at us, trying to penetrate. And where's he trying to penetrate? He's trying to penetrate our mind. And what happens, you know, just like water running over a rock over years, it can even wear that rock down. And see, what the devil's trying to do, these accusations, these lies, he keeps throwing them at your mind. Boom, boom, boom. You know, time after time after time. And some of those lies started when you were a kid. See, he's been around a while. Some of those lies that were spoke to you as a kid, and now you may be 40 or 50 years old, and those same lies hurt you. You think, I ought to grow out of that. But it's not that easy all the time. So that's why, you know, what we have to do is that instead of believing and letting Satan keep throwing those lies time after time after time at our mind, you know, we have the Word of God. And see, with the Word of God, we can renew our mind. You know, instead of Satan saying, you know, you're a loser. You really messed up there. I can't believe you did that. You always do that. You're stupid. Nobody loves you. See, that's what Satan, he knows our weaknesses. He knows what bugs us and bothers us, right? So he's going to hit you with that. He's going to hit you with that. But then on the other hand, the Word of God, if you keep putting that in your mind, bombarding your mind with that, you are loved. You have the mind of Christ. You are a chosen child of God. God has a plan for you. God loves you. And you keep putting that in your mind instead. And see, as we do that, that's how we start to win this battle that you and each and every one of us is going through in life. Because Satan, he has a lot of helpers, and he's out there, he's just trying to lie to us. He uses a lot of things. He manipulates the airwaves with the news and different things to try to get us to walk in fear and to walk in doubt. And see, we can have that. Because what I picture when I think about this worry, you know, the Bible says, and we're not going to look there, remember the parable of the sower? And he went out and he soiled, and it's really the parable of different soil conditions. You got rock and you got, you know, thorny places or weedy, and you know, and then you have the good ground. Well, the Bible says that you know, that it tries to choke out the word. See, Satan's trying to choke the word out of us. He's trying to get us to believe the lie and not the truth. See, when I picture that, you know, I just saw something on TV the other day. It was kind of cool. Well, in the end, it was cool. But in the beginning, it showed a python wrapped around a deer, a baby deer. And it was just squeezing and squeezing. And see, that's kind of how the devil attacks our mind. You picture kind of a python on your head, just squeezing your mind. But then I can't remember what happened. Either somebody come up and tapped it with a stick, and the deer got away. He was able to break that stranglehold. And see, sometimes we just need to be tapped with the Word of God to break that stranglehold on our mind, to be able to break that power. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to be in a good, strong church where we get uplifted by other people, to be able to fight the good fight of faith and to be able to walk with people who have life precious faith, to be able to encourage each other. Because out there, we're like that baby deer just kind of wandering around. All of a sudden, this big snake or something grabs us. We're all alone, and God, why don't you love me? Why don't you have people help me? Well, you got to come. Sometimes just have enough sense coming out of the rain. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you just got to, you know, just show up. Show up's the battle, getting up past the battle. Then you start to walk in that victory, because we don't want the life of the Word of God choked out of our life. And there's a lot of Christians getting that life choked out of them. They've been saved 20, 30, 40 years, but they haven't learned how to walk in victory yet. And it just takes a little bit of training, and we can do it. Now, the next passage I want to look at is found in Matthew 6:27. It says, "And who of you, by being worried, could add a single hour to his life?" Now, another translation uses like add a cubit to his stature. And really, what that's talking about there is that there's no benefit to worrying. Now, we've all probably worried, and nobody has probably gotten any better. And what this word "add" is talking about, and that's why different translations kind of use a different picture that we can see, you know, whether it's to make yourself taller, which that would have been handy for me, you know, growing up, I could reach more stuff, or the idea of adding more to your life, another hour to your life. But that Greek word there is talking about to add something to an existing quantity, right? Worrying will never add anything to your life. Worrying will subtract from your life, and it'll be able to take away from us. See, I don't know about you, but I think this is how it works, is that we tend to worry about things that we can't control. Is there any control freaks out here today? Come on, be honest. We all are to some degree, right? You know, and I mentioned about this class that we go through every now and then. Every time I teach it, I find out just a little bit more about what I need to let go of. You know what I'm saying? It's so easy to try to manage everything. But the things, you know, so many things, we just need to let God have it. And see, we tend to worry about those things that we can't control. So we jump in there and we try to do God's job. And then we find out we can't control it. So then we start freaking out and we start worrying about it. See, worry happens when we doubt God's ability to care for us. And that's something that's very important that we understand. God's ability to care for us. Does God really have the ability to care for us? Can he take care of us? Can he lead us and guide us? Now, don't get me wrong. You still have to go to work tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, you know, when they look at this, well, I'll just trust God. You know, I'll just sit home and just wait. Now, that's fine if you got the faith for that. You know, I remember when I was starting out in this Jesus stuff, you know, I prayed for prosperity. You know what I mean? You know, I wanted prosperity. You know what I got? Overtime. I got overtime. You know, which is all good. I'm not afraid to work. I did get prosperity, but it didn't come in the mail. I had to go to work. You know, and there's no shame in work, people. Now, sometimes God just blesses us out of the blue, and that's all good, but, you know, we just have to be practical in our approach to Christianity and not get real weird about it, because that's what chases people off. You know, an example I see about this, you know, about worrying and stuff is the stock market. Now, the stock market's good to be in, you know, and this is not an advertisement for Jason or nothing, but I will say this, if your happiness is tied to the stock market, you're in for some ups and downs, aren't you? And a lot of people's personalities, you know, their happiness is depicted about what's going on around them. And that's why the way worry is. If things are going good, if you got maybe $10,000 in your checking account, you're not worried about nothing. You get down to $9,999 and you start freaking. Oh, I'm out of money. You know, what's going on here? See, we can't let our life and our peace and our happiness be judged by those sort of things. It's going to lead us astray. See, that's what the pagans do. That's what it says there in the passage. And I encourage you to read that from Matthew 6:25 on to the end of chapter 6. He talks about a lot of different things that we're not going to tie into today. But he talks about that's what the Gentiles do. That's how the people that don't know God act. Why would we want to act like them? God doesn't want us to act like them. So how do we win this? Well, winning over worry. And in this passage, in part three of this is winning over worry, is the fact that, you know, it says, and for this reason. Remember in verse 25, when we started out, he said, for this reason. Well, what was the reason? Well, if we look at verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. For either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Okay. Remember, we started off this series way back several sessions ago, and we talked about double-mindedness. And this is what it's talking about here again. The idea of double-mindedness on how that affects our life. You know, on one minute we pray to God for something, then the next minute we go out and get it for ourselves. You know, and that's a tough thing. I mean, how it doesn't really work like that. See, God wants us to be able to trust him and to give him time to work in our life. Because, you know, it's okay to have money, because how many knows everybody wants to have enough money to get to the end, right? Till you die. You don't want to be out. And I think it's good to have money to bury yourself. You know, that's just my personal opinion. Because I've watched a lot of people go through some hard times, you know, when they had to bury somebody. When I was probably, I didn't look it up, but when I was 18 or 19 years old, I went and bought my own life insurance policy, because I did not want my parents to have to bury me, because the way I was living, it could have went at any time. And I was just, my mom raised me to be independent and take care of yourself and all that. I still remember that, and I still have that policy today. And, you know, it's a $25,000 policy in case something happens. You know, I know it's better to make it, you know, they say put it in term insurance and all that, but I'm not going to do that, because I had that, because when I get buried, we're going to have a nice dinner. I won't be there for it, but I have enough money to have a nice dinner for my friends.
There you go.
And then I got enough to bury my wife, you know, should the need arise. Now, she says she wants to go in the rapture, but hey, I still think it's good to have some insurance for a policy. You don't want to leave your kids messing with that if you can help it. So anyway, that's a little public service announcement. Just as a pastor, what I've watched a lot of families go through some hard times in that, and you just want to take care of that if you can do it. But a divided mind, what happens there with that double-mindedness, is a dangerous mind. Because in one minute we're trusting God, and then the next minute we're walking in worry and fear, And then we wonder, we think we're just enough Christian that God ought to do it, but yet it's not really working in our life. You know, and that's a tough place to be. So what we need to do is down the next passage in Matthew 6:33. Now this is a passage that we all probably need to highlight in your Bible, write it down, put it on a card, and every now and then this just puts your life right. Because we get messed up. We get off track, don't we? You know, I've been in a few ditches in my day, you know, back in the early days. You know, every now and then I'd get off the road. And see, that's what happens is we get off the road sometimes. We get off the way that we're supposed to be going, the path that Jesus Christ has set before us. But Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says, all these things will be added to you. See, if we keep first things first, we put Jesus first, seeking first the kingdom of God. You know, how do we raise our families? You know, we seek first the kingdom of God. How do I live my life? I seek first the kingdom of God. And if I continually put God first, I really believe that's one of the keys to winning over worry, because we're putting God first. Now, what happens on the other hand, if self-preservation kicks in and our flesh kicks in, we don't seek first the kingdom of God, then we do what it says up there in verse 24, that we start serving mammon and we chasing after wealth, and then all of a sudden we're living like the stock market, up one day, down the next. I mean, I'm glad, you know, about a month ago, if you had money in the stock market, it didn't look too good, did it? It was terrible. A lot of people looking at their 401ks or IRAs or whatever thing they had, and man, they was just going, I can't retire now. It lost 30%, right? God didn't lose anything when the stock market fell. He was still the same. He wasn't moved by the ups and downs of life. And see, when we seek first the kingdom of God, because to be honest with you, you laying awake at night worrying about that stock market, did that help you? Did it bring it back up? No. Didn't worry. Worry didn't bring it back up. But winning over worry is when we put things first things first. Here's what I believe, and I think most people in this room, now a couple of us maybe, there's times in my life when I've liked this, done this, but most of us have never allowed ourselves to get to the place where we really need God. We live in a great country, and we have so many safety stops that other people don't have. But most of us, I mean, maybe a time or two in our life, you know, where we actually got in a place that I can't make it unless God shows up. You know, but that's when we get to that place. I don't think we have to lose everything to get to that place. I believe that we can train our mind and have the mind of Christ, that we train ourselves to know that I'm so dependent on God that I can't make a move without him. I need him in my life because I know that he's the one who can see around the corner. I know he's the one that's going to come in and going to be able to change my life. He's going to bring peace in the storm. Remember last week, we looked at the storm and how the storms come and it brought fear. You know, those storms are going to come. But we can get to the place where we can start to depend on him. See, Jesus is not saying that we're never going to get hungry sometime in this passage. What he's saying is the fact that he wants us to focus our energies on God's provision in our lives. See, when we focus our energy on God's provision, you know, I remember, you know, we moved back here and I, you know, just started out doing things. I was a traveling minister for a little bit and did radio ministry and traveled as an evangelist and did different things, you know. We did need God in a lot of ways. I mean, and I've never advertised for work. God just brings it in. I live by faith. I trust God. That's just how I wanted to do it. I wanted to see my God move, and he's moved. He's real. I'm not saying I didn't worry every now and then or get extremely concerned. You know what I'm saying? I have had those days. But I will say this, God has never failed me. He has never failed me. And whenever I get freaked out, this Matthew 6:33, I have to recenter myself. I have to get myself back to the place where I need to be of seeking first the kingdom of God. What can I go out and do for you today, God? Who can I help today, God? What can I do to glorify you and get myself back to, it benefits other people, but it really benefits me more. because it gets me back to the place where I can be centered in Him. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. See, we need to cast our cares. We need to throw them off. You know, we can only do what we can do, and then we got to let God do what He can do. And we got to learn that, and that's how we start to win this. You know, I preached a sermon a long time ago about living carelessly. You know, we need to live carelessly, not recklessly, but live with not a care in this world. You know, I don't care what's happening out there. I mean, in a good way. You know, I do care for souls that's not saved. But I don't care about all these things going on because I do know that God is in control. And no matter what happens in this world, no matter how many things fail, God will never fail. And I do know the reality of what Jesus Christ can do and get into our life. You know, we live a life where I got this or God's got this. Which one do we want? We need to let God have it. You know, life is worth more than material things. Most things we buy today are so disposable, but our life is not disposable. You know, are we going to listen to the roaring lion or the lion of the tribe of Judah? See, the roaring lion is going around seeking who he may devour. He's attacking people's mind. You know, what happens when the lion roars? He puts fear into his prey. Are we going to be free from that fear? Are we going to listen to the lion of the tribe of Judah? You know, it talks about what Jesus, when he returns on that white horse, and oh my gosh, that's going to be a great day when he comes to return for his church and start to win the battle that needs to be finally won. You know, but it comes back down to our mind for right now. We can't control every thought that comes into our mind, but we can control the ones that stay there. You can control the ones that stay there. And that's where we need to learn how to do this. One of the ways, just for today in closing, is to speak the word. You know, sometimes we need to stop asking God and start telling the devil. You know, instead of praying, you know, God's given us authority as Christians on this earth, you know, and he's told us to go out and to rule and reign, and we're under his authority. I mean, he's the boss, right? And we listen to him. But nevertheless, he's empowered us, you know, to go out and do great and mighty things in his name. And one of the things that he's told us to do is that when we do warfare and we pray and we do all these things, but, you know, some of the things that come on our life, you know, we just need to start speaking the word to him because the word changes things. Instead of, oh God, help me out of this situation, we say, in the name of Jesus, devil, take your hands off my property. Take your hands off of my children. They're blood-washed children of God. There's a separation between the clean and the unclean. And that's by the blood of Jesus. And we can walk in that power. So winning over worry is possible if we learn how to control our thought life. Who are we going to believe, the God or the devil? We need to decide that. I believe that we can win this. And next week we're going to go in a little bit more about how we think about what we're thinking about. How we can start to control our mind. You know, not mind control. That's different. That's something, you know, that, you know, whoever does, that's crazy's talk. But we can learn how to bring our mind under subjection to the Word of God. He's given us the power. All we need to do is start to walk in it. Amen? Let's pray.